think looking at where we were sitting 12 months ago, right, January 2022, everyone had a much different mindset. Everyone thought, you know, COVID, thank goodness, is over. We're in the last stretch. Recovery, recovery, recovery. And we saw record number of transactions the first two quarters. And I think it was around the time of Nick last year when things started to slow down. People realized, wait, interest rates are actually going up. You know, labor is continuing to go up. We haven't done much rate increases. What's happening?
Welcome to season 6 of Bridge the Gap, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors. Powered by sponsors AccuShield, Connected Living, Hamilton Captel, Refera, The Bridge Group Construction, and Solinity. The contributors are brought to you by Peak Senior Living and produced by Solinity Marketing.
Welcome to Bridge the Gap Podcast, the senior living podcast with Josh and Lucas. An exciting episode today. We are at ASHA in Scottsdale, Arizona for the beginning of the year winter meeting. It's exciting.
It is exciting. It's exciting to be in person.
Exciting to be in person. 2023, this is our first conference meeting, attendee meeting. We got the studio set up here. And guess what? We've got a great friend, a great guest on. I want to welcome Alex Liu. You are over commercial real estate lending at Hudson Realty Capital.
Yeah, it's great to be on, and thank you, Josh, Sarah, and Lucas for having me on. It's my first time on a podcast. To say that I'm nervous is probably an understatement, considering my old managing director, Josh Hausfeld, just walked by and took a photo of me. So nice to have a little pressure.
I know. Well, you're famous. You're worldwide. You're worldwide. I follow your Instagram. I know where you go. He's on an airplane to another country in another city literally every day. This guy, he's whining and dining. He's making deals. And he's one of the smartest guys in the room. And you know what? You actually think that we brought you on here to give us a market update, but we actually brought you on to talk about your ideas on college sports.
Oh, I knew there was an ambush. And of course, you asked the guy with whose undergrad has no football team and whose grad school program's football team is also atrocious. The University of Chicago, you've heard of it?
Horrible. Oh, yeah, huge football school. Yeah. Yes.
Great, almost as good as Michigan State. Absolutely.
No, I won't do that to you. I won't do that to you. So, you know, with that said, talk to us. Give us a market update. Where are we in January of 2023?
Yeah, I mean, I think looking at where we were sitting 12 months ago, right, January 2022, everyone had a much different mindset. Everyone thought, you know, COVID, thank goodness, is over. We're in the last stretch. Recovery, recovery, recovery. And we saw record number of transactions the first two quarters. And I think it was around the time of Nick last year when things started to slow down. People realized, wait, interest rates are actually going up. You know, labor is continuing to go up. We haven't done much rate increases. What's happening? And I would say in January, sitting again in lovely Scottsdale versus Chicago, cautiously optimistic. I think the first two quarters will probably be a bit slow, but I think there's a lot of appetite, mostly because, you know, transactions, the M&A market for, you know, non-stabilized deals has been frozen. Deals are stabilized, things are going great, absolutely. But for those without, you know, it's been difficult. And the way I look at it is there's been a lot of, you know, banks, other financial institutions who did deals the last 2 years during COVID, hoping that things would continue, things would improve a lot faster. They haven't. And, you know, they still have to go through the process internally of figuring out what they want to do with it. Like, kind of how I look at it is, you know, being flexible, not being a bank lender. We kind of want to be the white blood cells of the system, trying to figure out how we can help solve other people's problems. I was, you know, I would say practicing with my lovely grandfather over Chinese New Year this last weekend. He was like, white blood cells? No one knows what that means. You should tell them it's Lipitor. I use it all the time to, like, help, you know, reduce the number of blood clots in my system. So my mentality is like, you know, we kind of want to be that preventative, help other people's, you know, solve problems. And I think the first two quarters, we're going to see, you know, a lot more sub-performing. People deciding that, yeah, you know, we're giving it a lot of time, but maybe it's time for someone else to kick in. So that's kind of, you know, I would say cautious optimism and the idea that, you know, the third and fourth quarter will, you know, have some form of normalcy.
So the developer owner operator that probably feels like they've been on the sideline for a while because, you know, everything kind of paused for a lot of things during COVID. Then after, you know, just trying to get things back together, I think a lot of people were thinking this was going to be a big boom year. What do you think the outlook looks like for the developer owner operators, and what can they be doing to kind of prepare themselves for the market that you think's ahead?
Yeah, I mean, I know one thing for sure. They're much smarter than me, so I'm not going to tell them what they should or should not be doing. I guess my perspective would be looking at where we were a few months ago. People thought interest rates were a passing fad. People still think interest rates will probably lower later this year. I'm probably not that optimistic. I think the rates will probably be where they are, slightly go up. And if I were them, I would try and lock in longer term financing while I can. Trying to risk it, you know, assuming that things will get better vis-a-vis last year, I think is a bit very optimistic. And you know, if anyone who can provide more time, if you can, I think that's always value. And if you want to risk it, sure, take shorter term money. There's people out there, myself included, who love to do, you know, 12 to 24th month paper idea that hopefully in 2 years, things will get better. And on the multifamily side, we're seeing a lot of this. We're doing this a lot on behind Fannie and Freddie paper with the idea that, you know, in 2 years, hopefully there'll be some form of, you know, more surety in the market or just more liquidity from other folks entering, you know, having more capital, not as being worried. Because the thing isn't so much, not to quote Ted Lasso, it's not the hope that kills you, right? It's the fear that kills you. So hopefully in 6 to 9 months, right, we'll have some form of adjustment, understand what's happening, and, you know, uncertainty is what prevents people, I think, from doing it.
Are there segments of the senior living market? You know, we cover a lot of things, the independent assisted memory care. We've got some skilled operators that are kind of in here in senior living. Then now we're even starting to track data, and a lot of senior living developers do active adult. Are there any sectors that you're thinking this year is going to be like the sector where most of the growth is?
I think for the most part, you know, the much more care-focused acuity, just because, you know, anyone who spent lots of time with their family the last year or two will have only realized, you know, their parents or grandparents need a lot more care. I think until we see some more certainty in the financial markets, you know, older people know, you know, financial security, the ones where it's more choice-driven, I think, will be kind of a bifurcated market. The high end, you know, if it's a lifestyle choice, absolutely. You can afford it, you want to have a good time, you're going to do it. But, you know, if you're not at that mindset, not the financial capacity, you want to be much more focused about care-driven aspects. So I would say, you know, generally, you know, higher acuity assisted living, memory care, I think those will probably, you know, recover vis-a-vis, I would say, more lifestyle decisions. And, you know, obviously with the lifestyle decisions, you know, that's a different market. But I think, you know, care-driven, you know, people want to be taken care of in good, safe communities, quality areas. And I think that's where we're going to see, you know, that market come back after the holidays.
Do you have any opinion on how, is this the same impact on the M&A?
Wow. I would say, you know, M&A, part of it is, you know, price discovery. Lots of sellers are still hoping that, you know, things, the market will get better. And part of that is driven by, you know, there's not as much liquidity as there used to be. You know, before Nick, every bank, every financial lender, myself included, aggressively pitching deals. I think one deal I bid at was 95% loan to cost. That's not really available in the market, right? So if you're used to, you know, getting relatively higher yields in M&A markets, especially on, you know, unstabilized value add deals, it's a lot harder to try and transact now versus 6 months ago, just from lack of price discovery, as well as people, you know, just trying to figure out and wait out the market. I am optimistic that liquidity will come back, hopefully in 6 to 9 months, or, you know, some adjustments in pricing. And in the meantime, you know, a lot of lenders like ourselves are being flexible in how we can, you know, help sponsors buy assets, cash in refinances. It's an interesting market.
Yeah. So, Lucas, I'm curious, you know, talking a little bit from the developer owner operator standpoint, but you work with developer owner operators every day. How do you see this impacting your business?
Well, in a lot of ways, right? And this is why this conversation is so important, right? There's that market update, and there's the challenges that they're all going to face. The interest rates, you know, are, you know, I'm hearing these conversations. Some people are they're bullish. They're like, oh yeah, we're going for it this year. And then other people are like, we didn't just hit the brakes. We pulled the emergency brake on everything. And I'm not quite sure what dictates that in each organization, which leads me to my question. There's going to be winners and losers in 2023. What does a winner look like? What does a winner do this year?
Now, there is a saying, as long as you don't lose money, that's winning in a market like this. And I think, you know, not to set the bar too low, but that is something you said about being defensive, you know, deploying your capital selectively in good markets, assets, just because of the uncertainty factor. I think, you know, in the next 6 months, we're going to see a lot of folks who have been putting money into deals, great sponsors, great deals, who are concluding, you know, why am I spending so much of my time and energy in senior housing vis-a-vis multifamily or industrial, right? You know, beyond the folks who are specialized in senior housing, there's also everyone else who's gotten into senior housing the last 5 or 7 years. Other people call them tourists. I wouldn't say that. I would say, you know, they're effectively reallocating capital to have a more diversified portfolio. And that makes sense. But, you know, they have to decide, do they still want to be in senior housing or do they want to exit? And I think for some of them, the answer will probably be, it's not worth the brain damage. But for those who stay in, you know, I think senior housing long-term in the U.S., you know, there's a huge demand for it. We have a great community of owner-operators, marketing folks, GCs, lenders. We're committed long-term. I think in the next 2 to 4 years, we're going to see the ones who stuck in, you know, probably unfortunately painful for, you know, a good part of this year. But, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
We like when there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
As long as it's not a train, right?
That's exactly well put.
So, Alex, my kind of one of my final questions, and this may not be an area that you spend a lot of time in, but how will interest rates affect people buying this kind of shift? I'm noticing a lot of portfolios are shifting. So these value add deals. Where they're like, hey, we're going to come in here, we're going to change out the operator, we're going to change out the marketing, we're going to up the tech, and we're going to deploy like $2 million in CapEx. You know, this place needs a refresh. How are the market conditions affecting that for that type of a investor?
To completely digress and quote one of my favorite people in modern day America, Ray Dalio, interest rates the last 10 years are not representative of history. I think going forward, with interest rates being higher, the cost of capital is also higher, right? You have to decide, why are we doing value add versus construction? And if you can buy the deals at a good enough basis, put in money, and basically get a product that is, you know, let's say 80 to 90% of the quality of development, but at 50 or 70% the cost, that's a winner, right? And I think to your point about the capital markets, interest rates, that's exactly what we see people doing. If they can see value in repositioning, value add vis-a-vis development, absolutely. Can you imagine not having to go through in front of entitlements, development committee boards, getting permission? I imagine that'll make a lot of developers very happy not have to do public hearings.
Sure. Well, and then I'm also seeing, you know, NIC reports coming out and the articles that are coming out in the industry that occupancy is up. Occupancy is up. It's up. You know, the buildings are getting full. And, you know, clearly COVID has ravaged so many people in the industry. Yeah. And we're seeing an exit. You know, people are just, they're done. They're out. It was just time. There's a changing of hands. There's new people coming in. And so maybe that, you know, is that a winner this year? Is it finding the pain point, which is, hey, I'm out. I'm not going to get top dollar for this portfolio anymore. It's struggling. And occupancy is maybe not, you know, rock star status just because their heart's not in it anymore. You know, is that a winner this year that they can go in and really reposition that?
You know, having great occupancy is always good. But the one thing we're seeing a lot of, and other lenders and sponsors seeing as well, if occupancy is happening at, you know, a detriment to margin, you know, that's probably not ideal. You know, understandable, you know, in an environment like the last few years, right, you want more people to be in your communities, enjoying them, knowing that you're providing good care. But if it's not, you know, at a price point where it makes sense for the sponsors, that's where I think a lot of the pricing pain is, where, you know, you have a 90% full building, but, you know, the projection of how much, you know, there's excess cash flow is substantially less. That's a hard conversation to have, right? And I know, you know, sponsors and operators have doing rate hikes, 8 to 10%, which is not unreasonable considering Social Security got a great bump. My grandfather was telling me about how great it is as well. So, you know, but the thing is, how long can that keep happening where people are seeing 8 to 12% rate hikes, right? Yeah. If, you know, you're on fixed income, that might not be as, you know, palatable in 2 or 3 years versus 1 or 2 years. And like, that's the hard part to try, you know, not just set adjustments or expectations at the operations level, but also with your residents, because ultimately that's the business we're all in, caring for, you know, these seniors, for our family members, as well as friends.
Well, it's amazing forecast and forecast on market opinions with Alex at the OSHA event. And talking about a room full of talent that we have here with us at OSHA over the next few days. Alex, thanks for kicking this off with us, man, on your first podcast, right?
Absolutely, Josh. And thank you for being kind enough to call me out in front of everyone.
Well, Alex, you know, I'll never forget you and I met, you know, many years ago at a NIC when I knew no one there. No one knew me. And you were very gracious introducing yourself and introducing me to other people. And we've just stayed in contact. And I've even come up for meetings in Chicago. We've grabbed a burger.
Oh, when I dragged you to Small Cheval to stuff your face full of a $12 cheeseburger. Yeah.
Yes, love that place. It was worth every penny.
I'm sure he went kicking and screaming. Yeah, I can just imagine that.
Only when I demanded he try the various aioli and ketchup with the fries, I think. I don't think you had the fries, actually, Lucas.
Look, if y'all want to know where's good food and what you should eat, Alex, your guy. He's going to know. And probably any city or country that you would be traveling to.
We might need a whole section just on that in our podcast notes for those that want to connect with Alex in Chicago.
Well, I do have great recommendations outside of Chicago in the U.S. and Egypt and Greece. Lovely. Lovely.
Wow. Now, you weren't kidding. World traveler.
That's
here.
That's it. That's right. Alex. Well, Alex, thanks for your time today. Hope you enjoy OSHA. And thanks to all of our listeners. If you want to check out this episode and many more, go to btgvoice.com. Connect with us there. You know, hey, if you've been listening to us for 6 years, 5 years, 4 years, 4 days, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with us there. Shoot us an email. Connect with us on LinkedIn. DM us on social media. We want to know why you're listening, what you love about Bridge the Gap, and we want to meet you and talk with you. Thanks to everybody for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap.
Thanks for listening to Bridge the Gap podcast with Josh and Lucas. Connect with the BTG Network team and use your voice to influence the industry by connecting with us at btgvoice.com.